Someone around here has clearly lost his head. You've probably noticed it too. Despite the best efforts of some talented students, the good work that they came up with was no match for the forces at hand. I'm speaking of the snow sculpture that's positioned of a person sitting on the bench up on the top of the hill. When I first noticed it, I was at a distance, and I think for just a split second, I thought it was a real person. The accuracy of the dimensions was such that from a distance, it looked really very realistic. But then I realized it was simply made of snow. And a few days later, I noticed that that snow figure had lost its head. Whether the warm weather that we had a few weeks ago was the reason for its mind melting, or the result of some playful shenanigans, there was no stopping the fact that something made of snow simply can't last. And when the things finally warm up around here again in a couple of weeks, what now remains of that sculpture will certainly be no more than just a mere memory, gone as a result of the process of melting. But perhaps it has one additional use for us, headless though it be, and that is to serve as an example of what is soon going to take place in connection with everything that exists in this world, in this heedless world. The text for this morning is taken from the third chapter of Peter's second epistle, in which the apostle speaks about Christians looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. This is one of the passages in Scripture that directs our attention to the second coming of the Lord, and apparently one of about 300 passages. Some time ago, a pastor shared an observation that had been made that he came across, that there are apparently more passages in Scripture which speak of Christ's second coming than explicitly speak about his suffering, death, and resurrection. The New Testament routinely highlights the day of the Lord because it is to take place at any moment. And since the Lord's return is of such importance, we're given some insights into some of the things that will accompany it. Among other things, Christ's appearance will initiate the great meltdown, something which will be far greater and far more dramatic than any meltdown that we experience around here in February and March. When the Son of God appears with all of his glory and all power, all things that exist here on earth, which have been affected and tainted by sin, will melt. This power which he possesses is presented in various sections of Scripture. In Psalm 46, for example, we're told about how the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. Everything in the world, the created world, has, in a sense, ever since the fall, been frozen solid in a state of a spiritual winter, for everything has fallen under God's righteous and divine curse as the result of sin. And as a result, all the things of this world will be destroyed, melted, when God appears again in all of his majesty and glory. Now, when we recognize from passages such as this that all of the things that we have seen and experienced and touched and handled in this world will melt, it makes sense to view all the things in this world in a certain way. On the basis of this information provided by Peter, we should recognize all the things in this world as being no more durable than that snow sculpture up on the hill. This podium, woody snow. The rafters in this building, pre-stressed snow. The block in the academic center, concrete snow. The pipes of the organ, metallic snow. Because all of it is going to melt with the truly intense heat of that last day. So, how does this text strike you? As negative, as sad? Is it sad to think that at some point God is going to melt away all of the things in this world, the mountains, the seashore, the waterfalls, the plants, the animals? it would be sad if we stopped here, if we failed to see where the passage leads. For Peter goes on after verse 12 to say, "We look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." The melting of the elements in this case is not a negative thing, for it is designed by the Creator to clear the way for a much greater place. This sin-filled world, which we now know so well, will be replaced by a splendid, perfect world. The waterfalls and forests, which I expect will also be a part of the restored world, will be even more glorious and amazing than they are now, for they will be in a far greater setting, the setting of righteousness. Christ will bring with him the righteousness which dispels all darkness and despair, scatters all sorrow and sickness, obliterates all obstacles to our joy. And how does the knowledge of this great meltdown affect our view of this present world? Should we simply cease with all of our efforts at anything to do with this earth, since it's all going to go up in smoke anyway? Well, no. Because the Lord still has some very worthwhile things for us to do while in this world, especially to advance his kingdom. The Lord wants us to be busy with kingdom work so that more people will be saved on that great day of melting. More people will be able to enjoy that land in which righteousness dwells. People, after all, are really about the only thing that are going to not melt. When that great fire envelops the earth and all things melt down, all people will be raised up. The hour is coming, Jesus says, when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and all will come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. And that statement provides all the reason necessary to be engaged in the spreading of the gospel so that others may join us in the eternal, indestructible paradise of God. Snow sculptures. Constructing them is a fine way to have some winter fun and to display artistic talent. And we clearly have quite a bit of that here on campus. But beyond that, we are to put no trust or stock in the things made of snow. It wouldn't make any sense to devote oneself to a snow sculpture. It's just going to melt away. It would make no sense to put one's confidence in the defenses of this world, that too, they too will simply vanish. It makes no sense to strive to attain all the riches of this world. They're all going to melt away. They don't last. They are no more durable than snow and will soon disappear. Only God is eternal. Only his kingdom is everlasting. And only his people, by faith, will reign with him in endless day. May the Spirit therefore enable us to see the true nature of the things that surround us here in this world and to rejoice in the certainty of the last day when we will finally see the world that lasts, of which we sing this morning in hymn 70, the first and last stanza. Hymn 70, the first and last stanza.